So, hey guys, welcome back to Accelerated Real Estate Investor with Josh Cantwell. Hey, I really appreciate you jumping on today. Today, I have a special guest. His name is Mike Ely. He is the principal and the owner of a private equity fund that invests in apartments and hotels. He has developed his business, which is called Nassau Investments, into one of the key development firms in the Cincinnati, Ohio area. He has been investing for over 20 years and currently has an equity stake in over 3,000 units of apartments and over 5,000 hotel keys worth over $1.5 billion. That's a billion with a B. One of his expertise is finding a way to do value-add improvements cost-effectively, meaning at 30 to 60% below what others would pay, because his firm is what we call vertically integrated. They're also expanding through strategic partnerships all over the country, acquiring more hotels and more apartments. And then this interview, you're going to hear from Mike and I. This is a fantastic interview. You're going to love this. And how Mike started investing, number one, started investing in D and F neighborhoods, literally in D and F neighborhoods. Number two, you're going to find out why Mike wanted to become a swag hotel developer, and how on Mike's very first deal he bought for $7 million, he got a K-1 that had a $900,000 loss. We also, number four, have a conversation around what we call skilled human capital and the importance of people in our businesses. We also talk about Mike's favorite structure in his deals and how he calls self-performing is allowing him to save over 50% on his value-add improvements and expenses. This is an absolutely super fun interview with my good friend Mike Ely from Nassau Investments. I hope you love it. On Accelerated Real Estate Investor, here we go.
Welcome to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you're looking to retire early with forever passive income, you're in the right place. This podcast is the go-to destination for real estate investors, both active and passive, and multifamily apartment investors, both new, intermediate, and advanced. Now, sit back, listen, learn, and accelerate your business, your life, and your investing with the Accelerated Investor Podcast.
So, Michael, listen, so excited to have you on Accelerated Real Estate Investor. Talk more about your private equity fund and all your deals. Thank you so much for carving out a few minutes for us and joining us today. How are you?
Man, everything's great, man. Appreciate you having me on, man. Let's rock out. Let's show the world what we got, baby.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, listen, I know that you and your partners, you have over 3,000 units of apartments, 5,000 hotel keys, over $1 billion under management. But I'm always curious to see what my guests are up to today. So tell me a little bit about what's going on in your world that you're excited about, maybe a deal that you're closing, buying, or selling. What is something that you're really passionate for that you're working on right now?
Man, I'm really excited. It's something so small, but maybe not the most. But man, we're working on a joint venture on a partnership on construction that will save enormous costs. Like in the apartment arena versus the hotel arena, two different animals, right? In apartments, you know, we self-managed. We were doing our own work, right? But the hotel space, we didn't have that. So if I would have pulled my guys from the apartments, then I would have been suffering there. But finally, after years of working, we found a group, and I'm able to get the material overseas, and they got their own warehouse. So it's just an awesome fit. I literally, as I'm walking in, people would have just saw sawdust. I saw money falling from heaven. So that's, you know, I was excited, brother.
Sawdust from heaven. I've never heard that before. I like it. That's awesome, Mike. So let's talk a little bit more about your money-making strategy. Hotels and apartments, you're one of the first guests I've had on the show. We've had 400 episodes. I don't remember a lot.
You're consistent, man. You're consistent. I can't even go to the bathroom that much.
Yeah, 400 episodes, man. We've done a good job. Remy's my podcast producer who's on this and listening. He's been with me for a long time, over 10 years, and we've just been, banging them out, man, having fun with it. So apartments and hotels. So tell us why both the benefits of both, and talk a little bit about how you structure some of these deals so they turn into profits for you.
Yeah, so really what got me into, no, apartments was just all I knew, right? Like, I got to figure out a way to make some money. And it's all started almost 20-something years ago. I read Robert Allen's book, No Money Down.
Yeah, I love that one.
I read that too. Right? Because well, back then, I was in high school, I was about 16 years old. Not when I started, but when I first read about it. I just knew there was tons of money out there. And I was like, man, I'm going to make money in junk bonds. And I'll never forget, I pulled that book off the shelf and I looked, and it was like the minimum investment is $50,000. I was like, dude, I ain't got a dollar. So yeah. I closed that book, put it back on the shelf. But when I read Robert Allen, man, no offense to anybody, but it was idiot proof because I could read it, I could understand it, and I hated reading. And I was just so intrigued by it. And that's what got me started. And then I started off in more like the D and F neighborhoods because that was all I knew. And not necessarily where I came from, but that was my environment. And so that's where I made money. Now, other people started off in A and B neighborhoods, which is great. I wish I could, but I was not comfortable. I didn't know that. But it was tough. And over time after time after time, I'm doing deals, but I got so much heavy management. I'm not just managing my staff. I'm managing the tenants, toilets, tenants, and trash, right?
Yeah.
And so I just knew there were different ways. And again, I always stepped out of the bounds, always trying to increase my knowledge and my surroundings and my perspective. And fortunately, I was able to hang around people that were doing much more better than me, from billionaires to multimillionaires to hotel developers to apartment developers to just small business owners. And they all had their niche. And because of that, I was fortunate enough to meet some people that did hotels. And man, every time I saw everybody at a hotel, they look good, they dress good, and they are always relaxed. I was like, what the hell so happy about, man? And you know, my guys that make plenty of money in apartments, they just didn't have that swag of that hotel developer. And then as I started studying it, I was like, oh my goodness, man, these hotels kick out tons of money. You get so much depreciation. You got tons of cash flow. Now, you do have some tides, waves, right? Like when the market's great, man, guess what? You're going to get tons of cash. When the market's down, like COVID, woof, right? But apartments were stable. But in layman's terms, to give people an idea, two, three things I'm going to share with you. One, when I went and did a hotel and we paid $7 million for this hotel. I'll never forget, I got a check, not a check, but a K-1 for negative $900,000. I was able to carry that back 3 or 4 months and I got money back, right? And then number two, that cash flow. Because no matter what you're doing, whether it's a business, technology, apartments, hotel, you're buying cash flow. So to give you an idea, on a apartment, you know, I don't care where you're at, man, unless you're in New York or Denver or, you know, somewhere else. Like, but right now, you're going to pay at least a 6 cap for even in the C property. You know, you're going to pay a 6 cap. So a 6 cap on $1 million, that's what, like $16.6 million. And the hotel industry, the cap rates are slightly higher. So let's say you're buying that same cash flow, but you paid an 8 cap. Well, now I only paid $12 million for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I still got the same cash flow, but I got sophisticated operators and got a higher end general manager, like just skilled labor, skilled human capital. And so I'm hands off because I looked at it like, look, man, I would love to say I'm going to live forever, but I know if I were to check out of here, my family would not be able to manage these D and F properties and even the day to day grind. So I was like, how can I make life easier? And I was like, man, anybody can manage a hotel because it's like a class A asset. And not just hotels, when you get into class B and A multifamilies, like, you know, anybody can manage that. But everybody can't manage the DNF product.
That's right.
And so that's what put me in the realm of going after hotels. And I did a lot of partnership working with people. Now, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But man, the reward is truly not even plentiful, but sweet.
Yeah. I love it, Michael. Thank you for that explanation. There's a couple things I wrote down that you said. The one that stuck out the most to me was skilled human capital. I love those three words. Just peel back the onion on that. Like, what do you mean by that? You and I both know building a big portfolio is not easy. It's all about the people. Buying the right deal, of course, starts with that. But then it's about property management, capital improvements, regular management. Skilled human capital stuck out. What do you mean by that? And how do you level up your human capital so that it makes your life easier? You manage properties better? What are some things that you do to make sure that you have skilled human capital in your life and your business?
Well, one of the things are, it's like anything, like in any sport, because I like to coach, it's your team. And so if you're getting ready for football, and anybody understands football, hey, if your defense have weak defensive back, a weak secondary, man, people are going to throw on you and throw touchdowns on you all day.
Yeah.
So if you got strong secondary that understands the game, willing to put the work in and put the time in to understand all the intricacies and the details of it, you'll shut down anybody trying to score and you'll start winning the games. And so just like in the hotel, in businesses, when you have somebody that's invested in the business and managing, your general manager, it starts with them, they're invested in the company and wanting it to grow, and they understand all the intricacies of the housekeeping, of maintenance, front desk, of true hospitality, they're going to pass that spirit on to your customer, which then increases revenue. And then everybody understands the books. Whereas if you just try to be cheap and hire your bookkeeper and they don't really understand auditing, you got a weak point. So therefore, you're going to falter. And so if your books ain't good, right, you're going to struggle. If you're not marketing, you're not going to increase your revenue. Because if you're not marketing, you're not creating sales, you're not closing. And therefore, especially in a time like COVID, you're not bringing in more customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important, because I had cheap labor. And man, when you have cheap labor
is not cheap. Michael, it ain't cheap. I don't care what they say. It ain't cheap, man. Right now it's hard to find good people, right? The good people are working, and the people that you don't want are not working. It's the people, those middle guys, you're making, $17 to $20 an hour. Right now, some of those guys are not working, and that's the part of the labor stack that we're missing the most, right? People in property management, maintenance. To me, in my buildings, like, that's the hardest part to find right now.
It's difficult, man. It's crazy, because naturally they put that, I guess, employment benefit package, which is soon to, I think it expires in September officially everywhere, or maybe July, I don't know. But some states actually, I think it's Carolina or somewhere, they actually said, if you go back to work, I'll still give it to you. I'll give it to your employer. Your employer distribute it to you.
Okay.
So we actually did that. And I think that was North Carolina, South Carolina. But yeah, no, man, like, people aren't going to work. Like, it's crazy. I saw this happening. But like, people, I was only, like you said, paying $18, $19, $20 an hour. They're not working. But now the people that don't even have that skill set, they getting paid $28 to $30 an hour.
Yeah.
And they don't even know nothing. Like,
they don't know nothing.
They barely can paint. Like, I'm going to pay you $30 an hour, and then I'm going to train you.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Guys are making $1,200 a week with unemployment benefits. It's like $4,800 a month, almost $50,000 a year. You realize it's like $25 an hour, right? There's about 2,000 hours in a work year. 50 weeks times 40 hours is 2,000. You realize those people making $25 an hour staying home doing nothing. So
I'm staying home.
That's the toughest part. But skilled human capital, right, is huge to build any kind of portfolio. It's really, really important.
Are you ready to automate and explode your real estate investing? We're searching for extremely motivated individuals who are sick and tired of wasting time and want to finally see real results from their real estate investing business. We're searching for investors looking to get to the next level and become a bigger, better version of themselves while being a more successful real estate investing entrepreneur. Apply for mentoring and coaching at joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast. That's joshcantwellcoaching.com/podcast.
Michael, I wanted to ask, what's your favorite way to structure a deal? I know you guys do a lot of partnerships all over the country. You're acquiring apartments and hotels all over the country, primarily through strategic partnerships. But help me understand, like, give me an example of a deal that you have structured recently, a partnership type of deal. What's your favorite way to structure that kind of deal to bring in partners? Because as we know, scaling and growing is difficult unless you're doing it with through people, relationships, and other operators that can really do the deal. Because you can't be everywhere all at once. So what's your favorite way to structure those kind of partnerships and grow?
Yeah, so I'll give you different levels. I'm going to break it all the way down. Like, my partnerships are everything. I would not be doing the deals I'm doing without the partnership, without the team, like say, like without the human capital. So get down to the nitty gritty, like always bring in third party. Well, it depends on location. Hotels, I already got my partnership. My group, Commonwealth, which I'm a partnership with, we are joint venture. They are my hotel operators. You know, when you get into hotels, they don't say management company. They say operators. And so I partner with them. And they manage. Then far as raising capital, I'm not necessarily using institutional money. I'm still using friends and family money. And now to get more, like, everybody has their own way of doing their deals. It really depends on how much capital you have and how much you have access to. So if you got a lot of money that you can call on, well, you can easily control the percentages. If you don't have a lot of capital and you need to raise it and your margins are slim, well, you're going to have to give up more. So my favorite is I like to do the 6% pref and 70-30, 70 going to the GP. Why? Because we're skilled, we know what we're doing, and we're getting not doing marginal deals. Like, our deals ain't based on the market appreciating. We create forced appreciation, meaning the rents were low. My last couple of deals, to give you an example, we bought it. The rent was $900. Mm-hmm. By the time we were finished, we got to $1,300, $1,400.
Nice.
Like, it was ridiculous. I have to say, my last couple of deals, we raised about $400+. And I was just really impressive. But it was timing. I wish I could say it was all me, but yeah, That's the whole point. The harder you work, the luckier you get. We caught a little bit of inflation, that housing demand, then the rents just pushed up. There was another project. I put in my performance. We were only going to do 825 the first year. Then as we got close, I said 900. Then we end up doing 1150.
Ooh, nice bump.
Right? So, I mean, we went from a 2.8 value. Now we're over, we might be over 4 million.
I was going to say you're probably close to 4. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
So, but like I said, the first one I described, that was 346 units, and I think we had to raise 10 million. At the time, we didn't have all that. So I think we did a 50-50 deal, no pref. And then as it was kind of a waterfall, once it hit a certain rate, then we bump up. They say they made more than 12%. Then we bump up 60-40 our way, GP. Right. In my apartments, I typically do when it's, let's say, 40 units, let's say it's 4 million and below, I do that 6 and 30, meaning I'll give you a 6%. They put up all the money. I put up the money at risk to get the deal closed. And then I pay 6% pref on a regular and then 30% of the net proceeds and profit. Nice. And some of my hotel deals, I have to say hotel deals are risky, right? Because they're based on the economy. And so the economy right now was crazy because of COVID. Yeah. And Everybody thought hotels were falling out of the sky, which they were, but they didn't, like, traditionally go to foreclosure and notes. That didn't happen like we thought it was. And so on those deals, I've been doing joint ventures and I do 50-50, mm-hmm. but no prep. Mm-hmm. But no prep because of that risk. But it seems the deals that we've done, like, we projected that we weren't going to make any money for the first year. But, man, I had hotels that I think we're going to end up profiting this in the first year. My courtyard in Columbus, we struggled. And it wasn't until March. Like, now, every weekend, my hotel is almost selling out.
Yeah, nice.
I'm like, 85, 90% occupancy.
This is Columbus, Ohio? Columbus,
where? Worthington, Ohio, Courtyard, which we're about to remodel. And yeah, I was like, Monday through Wednesday, not so great, but it's slowly. I remember we was only doing 800 a night. Like, it was terrible. Now we're back to this 35, 4,000, and then the weekends, 10,000 plus a night. So, you know, life is getting back to good, man.
Nice. Yeah, I'm from Cleveland, you know, so I spend my daughter's, we like to coach just like you do. And
What are you coaching those kids, man?
Yeah, volleyball.
That's big.
They're out at the Columbus Convention Center all the time. I probably had some of our teammates, friends, and family that have stayed in your hotel. That's fantastic stuff. Now, one of the things I was really interested to hear from you when we got you on the podcast was your ability to do value add improvements so cost effectively, right? 30 to 60, 30 to 50% cheaper than what others would pay. Now, we all know the price of materials is going up, so everybody's paying more, but you're still consistently able to pay less because you're vertically integrated, management company, CapEx. Help me understand how you're getting such great values, deals on material, labor, and being able to do those kind of improvements at those prices.
The key word is self-performing, right? Like, I'm not really sending all my stuff out to get bids. You know, yeah. HVAC. Like, here's an example. My guy had to go out. Well, two things. A regular maintenance call, if it's something basic, that could cost somebody $120 plus, you know, $100 in parts with a markup of 20 or 30%. So, I mean, that could cost somebody $250, $260.
Mm-hmm.
With me for 2 hours, let's just say I pay my guy $30 an hour. That's $60 plus $100. $160 it costs me versus doing a contractor. Well, now, just imagine on a larger scale to install a furnace, you know, just reasonable numbers to install a furnace. Some people will charge $800 to $1,500 for a furnace. Let's just say $1,000. But it still only takes 8 hours. I'm paying my guy $30 an hour. That's 8 hours. That's $250. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to begin to experience that. That's why I'm so excited. I'm going to experience that in the hotels because we got crews internationally. U.S., Bolivia, and they travel all over the country.
Love it.
Because of that, and then on top of it, our supplies. Now, even though China is cut out, we're going to be able to get our supplies from other countries. And if because you buy in bulk, you're going to save a lot. Like even with apartments, like you know you're going to, if you can plan and put it all together, here's a simple one. You're going to need 300 slabs of granite or just 300 pieces of granite, right?
Truckload of LVP.
Right. You order that from China, you're going to get it for pennies on the dollar or any other country. If you buy not the crate, what do you call it? Not the trailer, the
big truckload.
Yeah, truckload. Let's just call it that. Yeah. You buy that truckload, I mean, you're going to get that cheaper than you would anywhere else.
Right. Right.
You know, and so that's how you win, man. But you got a plan. You can't just like, oh, I'm gonna go to Home Depot and I'm gonna buy that this week because I don't want to put this. No, man, you gotta buy in like Costco, like Sam's. Go buy in bulk, and that's where you're gonna save your money. And even if you don't really have, if you see a deal, like I remember when I used to go to Home Depot. Not Home Depot, Home Emporium, which is similar to Home Depot, but they will have second offs or handoffs, whatever you want to call it. I would literally see a deal like, give me that. I'll take the whole crate.
Yeah.
Because the crate would be like $200. And if I would have bought it regular, it would cost me $1,500, $2,500.
Yeah.
So same thought process.
Love it. I see over your shoulder the From Broke to Millions.
There you go, brother.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, man, I love it. One of the great books. I don't like to call it the Bible, but man, we've been doing our podcast, and it's like, ask me any question, and we'll see if it's in the book. It's been in the book, man. So you got to get the book, man.
I love it, Mike. So you started broke. You started in D&F areas. You know, I'm curious to hear more about your start, how you got going, and some of your early challenges when you first got started investing.
Yeah. So when I started 20-something years ago, man, I bought a two-family, man. I did what they call house hacking before it was house hacking. Sure. I didn't even know it. Like, I was like, dude, I'm just getting a roommate. And I bought this two-family, didn't know anything about real estate. Well, except for what I'm reading in the book. And I never forget, I went upstairs to help paint. And the guy sent me back downstairs because he said I didn't know how to paint. I was like, how difficult is it to paint, man? Like, it's just paint. But that was the beginning. I rented upstairs for $500. I got me a roommate, which was my sister, for $200. That covered my mortgage. And I was like, I'm rich. You know, I had no mortgage payment.
So I'm then rich. Love it.
And then I did the next door. I bought the two family next door. And then that generated $300. And I paid my car payment. And I didn't have no bills, man. I was like, I never forget, I was making net $1,600 a month. And by the time I paid all my bills, I only had like $300. So I literally had to be cool.
Yeah.
When I did. Because if I went to the bar and partied too much, I was done for the month, man. But getting the free rent, getting something to pay my car payment, like, man, you couldn't tell me nothing. Like, I was $1,600 to the good, and I just kept adding to it. And then I went from $2,300 to $2,500 to $5,000. The next thing, I'm at $10,000. Then I bought a car wash, and then that's when life went sideways, man. I lost everything. Yeah, I lost everything, moved back home. I mean, it happened, you know, 2001, right around 9/11. Mm-hmm. And yes, business stopped all over there. I would love to blame it on that, but it was not 9/11 that took me out. Yeah. It was just not being prepared, not having a system, not having reserves. Just those three things. I could go on and on and on. And so I ended up moving back home with my mom and dad, and they painted my room pink and lavender. That's why I'm wearing my pink shirt.
Like the shirt. Yeah.
And, it's probably why I got pink shirts now, man. But yeah, they had put like embroidered around roses and flowers. I'm sure they didn't expect me to move back home, but that was it. And I started all over again, man. I got my real estate license. I wanted to learn how the game works, how other people were being successful. And then from there, I just started meeting more people. I raised some money. And 15 years later, I'm buying hotels. Nice. Unbelievable. And it's really, it's just, I wish I could say I was brilliant and I was just such a superstar. And
I'll say it, even if you don't say it. I'll say you're brilliant and you're a superstar.
I appreciate it. But really, the only difference, man, and I tell my son this, is just I didn't quit.
Yeah.
That's it, man. I was just about
to ask you, Michael, like, about some advice that you would give your younger former self, right? Well, mm-hmm. Now that you're buying hotels and partnering all over the country, all over the world, getting supplies from everywhere, 3,000 apartments, 5,000 hotel keys, like going from buying that first duplex and car wash and going broke and then moving back in with your parents to where you are now. What advice, talk to yourself from 15 years ago, what would you do differently? What advice would you give yourself?
Number one, don't quit, man. You never win if you quit. Like I was going to tell you, my son, man, he was kind of struggling in sports. And I was like, look, man, it's not that someone else is better than you. You know, sometimes people are in a better position than you or in perspective you think they are.
Sure.
But I was like, dude, you can be that and more. You just got to put the work in. And I was like, the difference between me and multiple other people is like a lot of people are smart, right? And there's a lot more people that are much more smarter, much more, I'll just say brilliant. But what happens after they try something the first, second, or third time, they quit. I was like, The difference between me and them is somebody said it was possible or I thought it was possible. So I just tried 597 more times. And on the 600th try, I finally got it.
Yes.
That was just the difference. And so that's why I say never quit. Once you learn something, just do it over and over and over till you master it. That's how Jordan did it. That's how Kobe Bryant did it. That's how Mike Ealy did it. And the other thing, man, get a mentor. Man, hack your way into this, man. Don't try to do it yourself, man. Get your teacher. Get you somebody to consult with. Get some friends that's doing it. Look. I always want to do stuff myself because that's just how I learn. I'm a hands-on guy. But really, man, get yourself a mentor. It will take a lot. And the one that knows what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
And just don't work with anybody. Find somebody you think you can work with and relate to. And they break it down because there's somebody out there for everybody. Everybody's got a different style. right? My style is kind of just showing you and tell you a couple words and I'm out of the way. Some people need people to talk to them. Well, there's teachers for everybody and everything. Yes. And that's what I would definitely would have got me a teacher. But sorry, I hate when people talk so much and I'm like, man, I just give me a book. Show me on YouTube. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's a great attitude to have. It's a great attitude to have. But I could have skipped over a lot. I could have been, just to give you an idea, what I've done in 20 years, I've showed some of my students and they're doing it and they're doing multi-million dollar deals or got into over 700 units in less than a year, all because of what we shared in my experiences.
Yeah.
Love it. That's the value of getting a teacher. And that's why I say, don't quit, get you a mentor or teacher.
I love it.
In my newest real estate investing book, The Flip System, you'll learn the proven secrets and strategies that I've used to be a successful real estate investor. You'll also hear the story of my journey from quitting my job to doing over 2,000 units of apartments. The Flip System is now available for a limited time, and you can grab your free copy at getflipsystem.com/podcast. You'll learn the same proven principles and secrets and investing strategies that I used to quit my job and pursue a life of financial freedom. In this book, I'm sharing exactly how I was able to personally close over 750 profitable real estate deals, make over 400 private lender loans, raise over $30 million, and acquire over 2,000 units of cash flowing apartments. Get my newest book now for free at getflipsystem.com/podcast. That's getflipsystem.com/podcast.
I love it. So, Mike, we're going to wrap up with what we call the final five. That's ready?
Right. I'm ready, bro.
All right, here we go. Question number one, what's your favorite way to find deals and opportunities to buy?
Man, through my relations, man. Because with my relations, I get to hang out. We go drink beer. We have a dinner. And the next thing you know, hey, Mike, I got a deal. Call me up. And that's it, man.
Mike, this is not part of the final five, but what's your favorite beer?
Heineken, brother. I'm a Heineken guy. Okay. Heineken guy, man. Nice.
All right. Question number two, what's your favorite way to find capital or JV partners to fill up your capital stack?
Man, through my network, through my podcast, through my students. I go from what they call, like most people, it's kind of hard to network. But I, through my systems, I take people from what we call a cold market to a hot market. And that's because they get to know me. And by the time they reach out to me, it's like, hey, let's invest, you know? And look, if they don't, I like to use the SW. So what? Some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. All right.
I love it. Love it. I've never heard it that way say before. That's awesome. Next question. What's your favorite maybe book that you've ever read or piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Oh, man, I got two of them. Man. But one of them is The Hard Thing About Hard Things. The thing that was Ben Horowitz or Andy Horowitz. He talked about how you move into these larger companies or you grow your business, but you may outgrow other people. And so what you have to do is insert different human capital, right? Like you can't keep the same manager. You're going to either have to lay them off or move them parallel and bring somebody else that can take you to a different level. I think one of the famous quotes, oh man, what is his name? Ah, godly, he played for the Bengals. He played for the 49ers with Rice. Terrell Owens. He said this, because the business changes so quickly. He's like, and if you don't change, you know, it's like this. 1 minute, you're Terrell Owens. The next minute, you're Terrell Owens. I was like, ooh, that's cold.
That's cold. He's talking about himself, too. That's fantastic. Yeah. Mike, what's, you know, we all got to get away from our business for a minute and think and process, especially for a leader, CEO, founder. What's your favorite way to decompress, think? What's your favorite place to go?
Man, I love going to the gym, man. Mm-hmm. Getting a nice run in on the treadmill, around the track. And it don't have to be a serious workout, but getting a nice sweat. And then I love getting in the hot tub, man. I swim a couple of laps and get in the hot tub, and it's like I'm a new person, man.
Yeah.
Everything just floats away.
I got in the hot tub this morning and then I got a cold shower. I felt like $1 million after that. It was fantastic. Lastly, Mike, you talked about mentors, how important they are, piece of advice you give your younger former self. Who's the mentor that you've had that's had the biggest impact on your life? And why do you think?
Man, I wish I could say it was one individual, but it was just so many other people. Like, here, let's see. See that jersey right there?
Jerome Bettis.
Jerome Bettis, man. Like, that's my guy. Like, we hang out. But I don't even really talk to Jerome like that. Jerome, through his lifestyle, like, when he got into the NFL, he invited all of us to hang out. And from a distance, I got to see how he lived and how he moved in and out of business, how he met some of the different people, how they wheeled and deal. That had such a great influence on my life that, like, if he could do it, I could do it. I had so many heroes that I grew up with that passed away that just guided me and shared with me their life and their suggestions and all the things to grow up and to be a man and to own business. And then, I mean, I just, from seriously, there ain't no other way to say it, from a crackhead to a drunk to a multi-billionaire have all been my friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All my friends. I mean, seriously, my best friend I grew up with, he's a drunk. He's a true drunk.
Yeah.
Like, you'll find him in the street, drunk. And I learned how to sell hanging with him.
Yeah.
He's my buddy. I learned how to sell and how to attract emotions and how to really communicate with people because of him. One of my other people, like I said, this multimillionaire was a developer. I watched him grow and do developments more and more every year that he got me into developments and change perspective. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I got this Rolex watch, man. I thought I was the thing, man. You know, $30,000 for the watch. And I'll never forget, I'm on his plane one day, and he says, "Oh, Mike, you got a nice watch there." I said, "Yeah, you notice?" And he's like, "Eh, it's okay. You know, that fills up my tank one way."
Yeah.
Like, oh, got it. Like, perspective. Where do you want to play it? Like, he just, people like that always work to elevate and let you know what's really important. And through all of that, yes, it is about the money. Money's right up there with oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not everything. But through all of that, I learned that family is where it is best. And that's where the most success is. So if you can strive to bring in that cash flow and to work to invest in your family and your community, that's where the true wealth is.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, Mike. That's a great way to wrap up today. Thank you so much for sharing today on Accelerated Real Estate Investor, Mike. An absolute blast. I know our audience is going to want to connect with you, check out what you're doing, your investments, your training and coaching programs. Where can they get more information about you?
Yeah, that's easy, man. If you want to get the book, go to frombroketomillions.com, frombroketomillions.com. It's also easy. You can find everything at nassauinvest.com, NASSAU invest.com.
Yeah,
and, you know, you want to learn about classes, you want to just talk about investing, you want to learn strategies. Like, people called for a free strategy session and I helped them save thousands of dollars. I had people ready to invest and put up, like, ready to put $500 million. I was like, man, if you do that, I'll tell you what, I got a garbage can you can just put in my can for you. So if you want to spend it on that, you could just put in my garbage can and I'll still give you a better return. So we're here to help people. We want to see people grow. We want to see them succeed. And if I can help you, then that's even greater.
Awesome stuff, Michael. Listen, appreciate you carving out some time for us today. Thank you so much for joining me on Accelerated Real Estate Investor.
Hey, man. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you having me.
Well, there you have it, guys. I appreciate you jumping on so much and listening to that interview with me and Mike Ely. If you want to connect with Mike, please do so right in the show notes at nassauinvests.com. Also, pick up Mike's book, frombroketomillions.com. And if you enjoyed this interview, please leave us a rating and review. You have no idea. Every time I look at our ratings, reviews on all the podcasting platforms and on YouTube, we get new subscribers, we get new ratings, reviews. It just fills up my day. It fills up my life knowing that we're having an impact on other people. So thank you so much for those of you that have already done that. If you haven't done it yet, go do it right now. It would have meant so much to me. I would be so grateful for that. And listen, guys, just want to tell you what a blast I have, how much fun it is to do these interviews and to come into your life with these solo casts So thanks for the opportunity for me to share with you on this platform. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Hey, Josh here. And do you want to win a free Accelerated Investor t-shirt? All you have to do is give Accelerated Investor, our podcast, Accelerated Investor, a rating and a review on iTunes. Okay? Do that now. Then send us a screenshot on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. What we're going to do then is every week we're going to pick our favorite rating and review, and we're going to send that person a free t-shirt and maybe, again, some other cool, fun stuff as well from Accelerated Investors. So, again, don't forget to take a screenshot. Leave a rating, review, take a screenshot, send it to us so we know exactly who you are, and then once a week, every week on the podcast, we will announce a new winner. Don't forget to take a screenshot and send it to us so we know exactly who you are. We'll announce a new winner every week.
You were just listening to the Accelerated Investor Podcast with Josh Cantwell. If you enjoyed this episode and learned something new, help us build the AI community by leaving a review and 5-star rating on our iTunes podcast channel. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. To see passive investing opportunities, visit freelandventures.com/passive. To start your journey toward the lifestyle you've always dreamed of with multifamily apartments, apply for one-on-one coaching with Josh at www.joshcantwellcoaching.com.